All right. Good morning again, everybody. And let me take a minute and give a shout out to everybody back there in the gathering and also everyone over in East York. Trust that today is a great day in your life. Well, I don't know if you knew it, but today is also Grandparents' Day. How many of you knew that? All right. Those of you who are grandparents, today is your day. And so remember a couple of weeks ago or maybe a couple of months ago now. I'm 59, so I don't always remember things, but I said to you that, hey, if you have grandkids and you'd like me to put them on the screen from time to time, all you gotta do is send it to me. Well, the Bockers and the Stones sent me some, and that's Larry and Cindy there, and that's the Stones, little granddaughter up there on the left. That's the Reedy clan as well up there. We took that picture when we were all on vacation this past summer, and it looks like that's like an amazing shot, I think. There, that's like a Hollywood shot. But and you might think, wow, they're so well behaved, and they just must have been sitting there for hours. That was like 5 minutes right there. 5 seconds. Sorry about that. 5 seconds, and the rest was chaos. But we happened to get that good shot. And those of you who are parents and grandparents, you know all about that. Well, moving right along, we're talking about how our work is something that matters to God and to other people. And, you know, not too long ago, I read of a Christian architect who actually enjoyed his work, but he kind of began to think that his work was insignificant. And he was somebody who designed and built large buildings. And he began to think to himself, you know, these buildings that I spend all this time designing and building only last about 50 to 100 years, and then it gets torn down for the sake of progress. And so I really want to do something in my life of eternal significance, he said. So he quit his job, he went to seminary, he ended up in the mission field, and he thought to himself, you know, finally I'm doing something in my life with eternal significance involved as I give the gospel out to other people. But I want to ask you today, is that true? Do you have to quit your job and go on the mission field to do something of eternal significance? I think we all wonder at times if our work really matters. I read the other day that the average person will put in about 100,000 hours of work over his or her lifetime. And of course, if you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, you could probably double that, right? But you know, if you put those hours in at, you know, Five Guys or Chick-fil-A or someplace like that, you know, it might be nice to know that you make somebody happy for a few minutes when they're eating their sandwich, but is that enough to get out of bed in the morning? Here's a question that would be good for us to ask. What will you have to show for a lifetime of work? So you're going to spend 100,000 hours somewhere along the line in your life. What difference will that have made in this world? I think the question becomes especially pointed for Christ followers, because we know that we don't just live here on this earth. We serve a heavenly kingdom. We serve a heavenly boss. But, you know, do you have to quit your job to do God's work in this world? I mean, is that what it comes down to? Or is it possible to find spiritual value? Is it possible to find eternal significance in the job that you have right now? It's a great question. And the reason why I ask it is because I think that for too long, a lot of Christians have kind of looked at work as a necessary evil, right? And we say, you know, I'm going to be spending those 100,000 hours out there, and really in the end, it's only redeemable by the fact that I can witness to somebody while I'm on the job, or I get a paycheck and maybe I can tithe that money. And a lot of times people think that's really the only good thing. But we've been talking here as we've been learning about the fact that our work matters to God, that it is a good thing, that we can actually use our skills and knowledge to make this world work the way God intended. And when we do, we actually do God's work in this world. And that's an amazing thought for you to think about, how when you get up and go to work tomorrow morning, you are involved in something that God is doing all over this world. And so I want to take that thought and express it and kind of go one step further here this morning. And I want you to think about this big idea that's on the screen here today, that your work is not just something that matters to God and other people and even yourself, but your work is actually good for the gospel. You might not have thought about it that way. But today I think we're going to learn that when the quality of your work and my work causes people to respect you and ask you about your faith, your work actually becomes something that is good for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing thought. Let's kind of explore this here today and dig into this and I think be encouraged by it. Let's go first of all to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we want to think about this idea first of all, that your work, the quality of your work, how you go about your work is actually something that is a witness to your faith in Jesus Christ. And here's how Paul expressed it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 11. He says this. He says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Now, I think that's an interesting piece of career advice that Paul gives to the Thessalonians there. And I think, you know, it'd be good for us to kind of dig around a little bit today, because there are some reasons specifically why Paul said some of the things that he said. The city of Thessalonica was a Greek city. It was heavily influenced by Greek culture, and when you kind of read a little bit about what they thought about work, you know that they had a low view of manual labor. Greeks were all about their minds and what they could do and explore. And so hence, Paul says what he does there about working with your hands. Furthermore, we need to understand that the Christians in Thessalonica were so convinced that Jesus Christ was going to be coming back in their lifetime, and they were so afraid that they might miss that, they had actually quit their jobs, many of them. And they literally wanted to be able to watch and witness for themselves when Jesus Christ would come back. And so you can see now why Paul said some of the things there to them. Hey, listen, you've got to stay at work, is what he's saying there, because your work is actually something that witnesses to others. And so there are three things that I want you to think about here. It's in your notes that I think, Paul is saying. The first thing I think Paul is saying is that work is honoring to God. Your work is honoring to God. When you use your head, but Paul specifically mentions your hands. When you use your head and your hands to make a difference and to provide for your family, Paul is saying you actually do a noble thing. There's something else I think that Paul is saying here. It's that when Christ returns, I believe he'll be just as pleased to find you making hamburgers as he would to find you preaching. Have you ever thought about that? That may not seem completely right to you, but it's true, I believe. If Jesus comes tomorrow afternoon at 2:30 and you're at the factory instead of here at church because the factory is your job, I think Jesus is going to be okay with that. That's what Paul is saying to them. He's saying, listen, you got to get back to work, people, and provide for yourselves. Jesus will be coming, and he'll be okay if you're working with your hands when that happens. And the third thing he says is this, that sometimes the best thing you can do for the gospel is your job. Right? Look at what it says there. He says, if you do this, you win the respect of those who are outside. And so I want you to think about this. I want you to go to the next slide, if you would, please. I want you to think about this particular idea here. It is this, that if you make a big deal about the gospel, in other words, if you're somebody who kind of wears your Christianity on your sleeve at church, at work, if you make a big deal about the gospel, but you don't work hard at work, it's counterproductive to the gospel. Are you with me here, church? I think it's so important, so necessary, needful for us to hear this today. I think that sometimes the best thing you can do is to do your job so well, as Paul says here, that you win the respect of those who are around you and who watch you work. I was doing some reading about this the other day, and I read about this Christian employer. So he's a Christian employer who actually doesn't like to hire Christians. Wow. And so, you know, the person who was interviewing him kind of probed in a little bit more about this. And the employer said this, you know, some Christians that I've dealt with don't work as hard as others. They're not all that productive. They take too many breaks. And they talk too much during working hours about their faith. Wow. I wonder this morning, what would the people who work with you say about you? Are you so competent? Are you so engaged in your work? Are you so in the pursuit of excellence for yourself and your employer that people look at you and they actually wonder why you work the way you do? Paul Borthwick is a Christian author out of Boston, Massachusetts, and he's written a book entitled Stop Witnessing and Start Loving. And it's a very provocative book, I think. And really the gist of it is this, that, you know, people really don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, right? And so his thought is this, hey, you know what, sometimes one of the best ways we can witness is to actually start loving people and listening to them and reaching out to them that way. So I want to tweak that a little bit here today for this message, and I want to suggest that if you want other people to know about your faith, then maybe some of us need to stop witnessing and start working. We need to be looked at our work as those whose quality of work is so distinctive that it wins the respect of those who are around us. And when we've earned that platform, when people look at us and they see that there's something different about the way that we do our job because we love Jesus, they come in and they begin to probe what that's about. And then we have the opportunity to show them Jesus. Are you with me here this morning, church? You know, maybe we've never thought about it quite like this, but I think this is what Paul is saying there in the book of 1 Thessalonians. He's reminding us, I think, of this huge idea that our work, the quality of our work, not just our words, but the quality of our work is actually a witness to other people. This is the second thing I want you to see and think about today. And that is this, that when your work is a witness, then witness. All right? So don't anybody hear me say today, you can't even talk about Jesus to your friend. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is, secondly here, is that when your work is a witness, then witness, then speak of Jesus. To think about that, I want you to go to the book of 1 Peter today, chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want you to listen to the advice that Peter has with some people who are going through some difficult times. And here's what he says. He says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander or the things that they say. Now, the people that Peter is writing to are a little different than the people that Paul was writing to in Thessalonica. Peter is writing to a group of people not in one city. He's writing to a group of people who have been scattered all about because of persecution for their faith in Jesus. And so these folks were really up against the wall in a lot of ways. They were considered a threat to their society. They were misunderstood. Many of them were businessmen and women, and they were struggling to do business because they were kind of being thrown out of their cities and their places where they lived. And so these folks were truly suffering for their faith. And yet, In the midst of it, it's clear as you read those verses that the world was watching these Christ followers and they were curious about how and why they were responding the way they did. And so Peter has, I think, some great advice here. And I want you to just kind of think about this. And again, it's in your notes here today. The first thing Peter says is this. He says, set apart Christ as Lord of your lives. So he's talking again about our witness, this time in the face of difficulty. And when we keep walking with Jesus, when we make sure that Christ continues to be the Lord of our lives, even in the midst of difficulties, people look in on that and they notice. And so set apart Christ as Lord. I wonder if you and I have really ever done that when it comes to our working life. Is Christ the Lord of our working life, or is our boss, or our company, or maybe our customers, or maybe our paycheck? You see, when Christ is Lord, people get curious about it, and they kind of want to know why you are different. The second thing Peter says is this, then, we should be prepared, Peter says, to give answers to those who ask. Now, not everybody is going to ask. But there will be people who will ask. Has anybody ever walked up to you and said, you know, I can see the way you work. I can see the values that you have. I can see there's something different about you. Can you tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life? Peter's talking about those kind of things right there. And so have they asked you what makes you tick? Some of you have recently come to know Jesus, and so there's a change in your life. Have they asked you why you have changed? They know you go to church on Sunday. Do they ask you, why do you go to church? And when they do, are you willing to speak up and give a reason, as Peter says there? And so be prepared to give answers to those who ask. When they ask you why you work so hard, are you ready to say to them, well, I actually work for a higher boss than our boss? When they ask you why you actually care about people, are you ready to say, well, I believe that every person matters to God? When they ask you why there's something different about the way you live your life, are you ready to tell them, well, God has changed my outlook and how I think about life? Be prepared to give answers to those who ask. And then there's a third thing Peter says there. He says, do all of this with gentleness and respect. Well, I love that. You know, let me just say it here today. You don't have to be getting in people's grill all the time to be an effective witness. All right? You don't have to go around the office changing everybody's screensaver to John 3:16, you know, to somehow be an effective witness. You don't have to attack their lifestyle. You can actually make, as we learned last week, hamburgers to the glory of God. You can sell insurance to the glory of God. You can dig a ditch to the glory of God. You can be a computer programmer and operator, because when you do these things and Christ is the Lord of your life, people look into your life, they see what you're saying, you respect their personhood, you honor the rules of the workplace, huge thing for me to say this morning. And when all of that happens, God has a way of honoring your life and your work. 8 to 5. A number of years ago, a young woman wrote in the Boston Globe about working and people around her, and the title of her article was very clever. It said, it was entitled this, "Keep the Faith, but Keep It on Your Own Side of the Cubicle." And so she was actually a Jewish woman, and she kind of wrote a little bit that it bothered her from time to time when a certain co-worker of hers would try to push religion down her throat all the time. And here's one of the quotes from the article that I thought was very interesting. She said, "He's the nicest guy, but he has the unfortunate habit of using the workplace as a recruiting center. When he approached me to discuss religion, I mentioned I was Jewish. Big mistake. His face lit up. I came to find out that converting Jews was his personal mission." Wow. Now let's think about that. Because helping people come to know Jesus Christ, is that our personal mission or what, church? That is, right? It's who we are as Christ followers. Part of what makes us tick. We actually believe the gospel can change somebody's life. We actually believe that the whole world needs to know about Jesus. We actually care about the people of this world, that they come to know him. We have this mandate from Jesus to share our faith. And let's face it, most of us are very eager to be able to talk about this person who has so completely changed our lives. But let me just say this morning. I think this is a huge line in my message today. It is this. It is the gospel that should offend people, not you personally. Are you with me on that one, church? The gospel offends, right? The gospel tells people that they need Jesus. The gospel tells people that they're sinners and that they need to repent. Hey, that's plenty of offensiveness right there. Why should you and me be personally offensive? Why should we go against the rules of our workplace, you know? How is that witnessing in a way that actually honors God? I want you to think about that here today. It's a huge thing. I think Peter is saying to us here that when our work is a witness, then we have an open door to be able to tell other people about who has really changed our lives. But this is hard. We live in a difficult, it's harder, I think, today than it's ever been to follow Jesus Christ. It's harder than it's ever been to follow Christ into the workplace. Let's face it, with all the rules and everything going on in that way. And so that's where I want to kind of bring in this guy by the name of Randy Kilgore into our message here this morning. He's actually somebody who lives in New England. He has this ministry called Made to Matter Ministries. And one of the things he does is he helps pastors and Christians navigate workplace matters. And he has some takeaways that I want us to think about today in your notes. And here's the thing. He asks people this question regularly. He says, what do you want from coworkers who claim to be Christians? And so this is a guy who travels in this world all the time. And so not only does he reach out to Christians, but he also reaches out to non-believers. And one of the questions he asks is, what do you want? Those of you who don't follow Jesus, what do you want from your co-workers? What do you feel you need from co-workers who claim to be Christians? And you can imagine the earful he gets when he asks that question. And I think that at least some of the things he says and he learned are instructive for us. And I've got five of them here today, and I want you to think about them because I think they'll be helpful to us. He says this, number one, that non-believers wish, first of all, that their Christian co-workers knew more about their faith. Wow. And so, you know, it seems that they will ask questions from time to time. And when they ask those questions, they don't want a bunch of Christian cliches, right? They don't really get let go and let God. We get that, right? But they don't get that. And so what they're looking for are insightful answers, answers that have substance to them, that are thoughtful. They wish we knew more about our faith. Wow. Number two, they wish we had more hope in hard times. It seems that when hurricanes hit, right, and when 26 school kids get murdered in a elementary school, when sickness begins to happen or when terrorists attack, they actually look to those of us who have faith for hope. They're looking for an encouraging word from us about what's going on in the world. And so they actually wish we had more hope in hard times. Number three, they wish that we were more curious about the difficult questions of life. Wow. And here again, you know, I think people are far more interested in talking about spiritual things that we give them credit for. And one of the things that I read about that is that, you know, some of what we have to do is figure out what are the tough questions that they're wrestling with and find good biblical answers for them. Number four, they wish we were more compassionate. And sometimes we come across as a little hard-nosed, and sometimes we come across as a little intolerant and maybe even harsh on those who don't share our faith views. They wish we had more compassion. And then number five, and I was really struck by this, they wish we behaved more honorably. Wow. And so, guess what, church? When we do not set apart Christ as Lord in our lives, when they see things in our lives that don't line up with the fact that we are Christ's followers, it kind of bothers them a little bit. When our walk is not up to our talk. It's interesting. It's interesting to me that they didn't say that they wish we would party with them more. Or they didn't say they wish we would sit around and tell off-color jokes. No, what they want is for us to be true to our faith, honest about our struggles, serious about our work, and respectful toward those who may not see things the way that we do. And so I want to ask you today, was it wrong for that architect to quit his job and go to the mission field? What do you think about that? Was this something that was wrong for him to do? Well, not if God was leading him. But if God doesn't lead you to pick everything up and go to the mission field, you can still do God's work because your work matters to God. And so what is your work? Maybe you're a healthcare worker. You might be in law. You might be a manager. You might be somebody who designs buildings. You might make tools. You might work on a golf course. You might be a farmer. You might be in sales. You might be a scientist. You know, when you do these things that God has clearly led you to do, it contributes to the health, to the wealth, to the well-being of people that God loves. And in the end, it's something that makes this world a better place. Your work and my work truly matters to God. I love the story of the young boy on a beach. And as he was walking on the beach, he noticed that there were hundreds and hundreds of starfish that had come ashore. And they were not able to get back into the water by themselves. And so he was walking down the beach and one by one, picking them up, throwing them back in, picking them up, throwing them back in, picking them up, throwing them back in. And there was some guy who walked by him and said, hey, what in the world are you doing here? There are tens of thousands of starfish there. You're not going to make much difference here in this situation. And the little boy thought for a second. He reached down and he picked one up and he threw it back in and he said, I just made a difference for that one. Reached down, I just made a difference for that one. I just made a difference for that one. And on he continued to go. And tomorrow morning, you are going to wake up and you're going to go to work. We're going to use our skills. We're going to use our knowledge. We'll use our experience. We'll use the things that God has taught us to make this world a better place for people that God loves. And when we do, we join God in His work. And we actually bring glory to His name. Your work matters to God, to yourself, to your family, and to those who have the opportunity to watch you work and then ask you what's so different about you so that you can actually win the respect of those who watch you. What an amazing thing to use those huge amounts of hours in a way that brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's bow together today in prayer. Father, thank you so much for giving significance to us, Lord, for who you are and what you've done, Lord, and the fact that we don't have to quit our jobs and go on the mission field to have eternal significance in our lives. We can have eternal significance in our lives digging a ditch, selling a car, making a widget, because when we live our lives with you as our Lord in front of the people of this world, it's actually good for the gospel. And there are opportunities that you put in front of us. Thank you, God, for that. Light a fire in our hearts today as we crown you as Lord, even over our work, Father, for the glory of your name. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.